Hello, everybody. It's Gary Stuckey with Real Music. Hope you're doing okay out there today. Got a great interview lined up for you. A friend of mine, he's back once again. Chris James of the Burrito Brothers is here talking about their brand new album. It's called Together. You need to check it out. You're going to enjoy it if you love Tom Petty and the Byrds and Bob Dylan, people like that. Yeah, you're really going to love it. Well, speaking of the Byrds, you know, Graham Parsons and Chris Hillman, two original members of the Byrds, they left that band back in the 60s and formed the Flying Burrito Brothers. And this is today's incarnation of that band, the Burrito Brothers. They're continuing that legacy and that sound. But a great album. You need to check it out. Once again, it's called Together. And we had a few technical difficulties, little delays here and there with the sound and everything. But you're going to really enjoy this conversation. So here we go. Here he is. Here's Chris James. So whenever this album, I mean, when you're working on this album and you're going to release it and thinking about it, what was the idea behind it? I mean, what did you want to accomplish with this particular album?
Well, basically, our intention is to make a complete, cohesive piece of work that flows well together. We think in terms of whole albums a lot more than just individual songs. We wanted them all to kind of flow properly with each other. And then we had the grand finale of a suite, which is essentially a five songs, I think, all tied together without seamlessly put together as a suite, which is not exactly a new idea. That's kind of a way that many of the classic great artists of the past would have their finale album. And we think in those two, we think sort of old school, to use a tired phrase.
Yeah, there's some cool songs on there. I've been listening to them, you know, and what I'm getting, and like you said, if you listen to a whole album together, I mean, rather than just listen to a single, I want the album experience. So I sat and listened to the whole album, and, you know, it really puts you in a mood. And if you're a fan of the Eagles and Tom Petty and the Byrds, this is the album for you, right?
Yes.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah. Those are good examples of people who came before this incarnation of Burrito Brothers and it certainly influenced us. In fact, it was funny when I first got in the Burrito Brothers as a full-time member. Was about 15 years ago, and an interviewer said something to me about that the Burrito Brothers influenced those acts, influenced the Eagles and Tom Petty. And that's a tricky little minefield to navigate. I had to say, well, yes, the Burrito Brothers of the earliest days, the early incarnations, I would say, must have had influence. But I certainly don't want to stand here and claim that I influenced those people. The Burrito Brothers changed personnel regularly for 55 years and still going and stay good all the way. And so the people who are in it by this point are on the side of the circle where we're carrying on the legacy of a group that influenced a lot of people, but we in turn are influenced by many of these wonderful people.
Sure. Sure. And that's not a bad thing. There's a lot of cool music in there. And I think a lot of the bands back then, you know, that had similar sounds, they kind of helped each other out and listened to one another and kind of like, there's like this big sound, you know, that everybody kind of took from each other. Right.
Yeah. I don't think we sound exactly like any other band. We're not copying anybody, but I'm sure we borrow. I love the term that Bob Dylan coined of love and theft, where if you claim you're sort of stealing or borrowing a little something from some other musician you love, it's done out of love and with creativity. It isn't, at least to do it right, it isn't some sort of mimicry or copycat. It's just how we share music. Yeah.
That's totally understandable. You know, the truth is, everybody, to a degree, like you said, takes some from, you know, everybody. But it's not like you just take everything and go, I'm going to do this new thing. You're taking a little piece of it, and then you're adding this. It's like blue and yellow. If you take a blue and a yellow, you make green. And green is not like blue and yellow, right? That, how about that for an analogy? But that's a good example, right?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And I think if there's anybody who claimed they are completely original, they're fooling themselves. That's a lie. There's no such thing. Everything is built. But what's the old wonderful saying about on the shoulders of giants? It's give and take. You learn how to play music through all the music you've loved in your life.
Sure. And that's what it's all about. And it makes for some great music, like I said, and especially on this album. Now I want to ask you about this. Now, the cover of the album, Together is the name of the album, but the cover is this big, I guess, mothership, and it looks like it's taking y'all away or something. What is that representative of? That's kind of cool. Hey, can you got a copy of that? Yeah, you can show. Now, what is that all about?
Well, I came up with this idea of the mothership has this woman on the side, and I had told our art director, Warren Ells, who's done all our covers and done a very nice job of it, that I had this idea for the shack, the palace that's on all our album covers, to be a landing module, to treat it like it's coming, it's landing on a planet, and it's coming out of the mothership, and the mothership would be the Sweetheart of the Rodeo, because the Byrds album, Sweetheart of the Rodeo, which has that woman on the cover, that rodeo girl in the yellow dress, that's the album that Graham Parsons was in the Byrds on. And he and Chris Hillman made that very country-sounding Byrds album and then split and started the Flying Burrito Brothers. And so to read the Flying Burrito Brothers, a spin-off group from the Byrds, an offshoot group, is not a stretch in any way. That the Sweetheart of the Rodeo is the mothership. It's where the whole beginning of the Burrito Brothers, that started with Graham Parsons and Chris Hillman, carries on to this day. That's where it started. So we have our little module coming out of the mothership. And
that's
people
cool.
Who know all that history, are, I think, will get a kick out of seeing that. Yeah, they'll know that. Yeah.
Sure. That explains a lot in just one photo. That's really cool. I really do like it.
Yeah. I should mention on the back, that's a painting by Joe Boyling, Bob Boyling's wife. Bob Boyling is our representative in England. He's the one who got us our record deal and does so much for us. And his wife offered to do artwork for our album. And when we were presenting this idea of peace travel and somehow the group being out there in outer space, she came up with the back cover art, which is really cool. That's an act painting. It's a true artist did it. You know, it's on canvas. It's not just graphic artist art like so much stuff nowadays is. And I remember them sending examples of it in progress, and it was really neat. It was really special of Joe Boyling to do that for us. So we've got quite an upper art thing going on this album.
Yeah, I like it. Like I said, I always like albums, you know, like a Journey album or something where it's got the spaceship or something coming in, or like Boston or something. You know, there's always a spacey kind of a thing. I love that. That's a cool look to an album. I think it would draw a lot of people, and they'll go, hey, you know, sometimes you can judge an album by its cover, because you know it's going to be cool if it's got a cool album cover like that. It's got to be something, you know, cool inside, right? Oh, tell me about the first song, Miss Misery. Now, is that about somebody? Is somebody going to come out of the woodwork and say, you wrote that about me, that's me? Or who is that about?
Yeah, it's more of an idea. It's more like it might have kind of been about some things that went on, but it was more of just painting this picture of a love affair type thing not working out, and we really just liked the sort of punky attitude. I don't know if quite the way to put it, but that sort of nah, 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 it kind of, it's actually, when you mention Tom Petty, he comes to mind. I think it's a little bit,
yeah,
kind of doing that vibe. And Bob Hatter came up with the guitar riffs, and the idea is all based on guitar riff type stuff. So it was more of a fictitious person.
And I wrote that as a little note, though, about Tom Petty. I mean, you know, and like you said, it's not like, whoa, this is identical to Tom Petty, but it's just like, it's like you flavored it with Tom Petty and the Byrds, you know, and it's still your sound. But it's like, but fans of those guys, fans of the Byrds and Tom Petty and yours, will just have a big old time, you know, great time listening. The songs are really good, too. You know, and it, you know, it makes a difference when there's a band that comes together and performs the song, and it sounds like, you know, it sounds believable. It don't sound like just, you know, somebody jamming and not really, you know, paying attention to what's, you know, coming together. I think whenever you start recording music and you're gelling together, you know, and it makes a difference. It makes a difference when you're a band that kind of is on the same page. I think sometimes there's bands that maybe there's a lot of guitar and he's flashy and it stands out too much. But a band that to me, it sounds like it's for the song. I mean, the band comes together for the song. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it just really makes it sound good.
Oh, I agree. It's all about doing the best performance, best delivery of a song as we can, using the studio and our talent. And I especially like something you touched on, that to be a band is really a different animal than just having a session where there's a song and a singer and the players, you know, session guys or hired guys or guys for just that event. We have more of a cohesive unity of vision in what we're chasing, because it's a band. It's not a solo singer with his session players, even though all these guys do tons of sessions because they're so good. But yeah, in fact, backtracking a little on Ms. Misery, the original demo I made with Bob Hatter back in 2003 or 4 or somewhere in there, we used Bob's guitar part. We did that back while adhering to Bob Hatter's guitar playing on the original demo. And that was because Bob was dying of cancer. He passed away during the making of this album together, and we dedicated to him. And we did things like that where we tried to use as much of him as we still could get. But Steve Allen stepped in with Bob's blessing and completed the album, the guitar work on the album for us. So it was really two guys in the same slot it's both Steve Allen and Bob Heder played guitar and bass on whatever tracks they're on. And
Right.
we lost Bob during the making of this album.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. But what a tribute to a talented guy to complete an album and to make it sound so good. I mean, that's a great way to honor a friend, a musician, right?
Oh, I think so. And we made exactly the album we would have made had he lived. He was in on all the prep for it. We had all the demos and the songs chosen and the writing prior to recording it in the major studio. And so Bob was aware in on the making of this album. And then COVID was involved too, right in there when we were first starting on the album. And since he was battling cancer, he wasn't about to get out during COVID. He was playing it safe, and that back when that happened was the hope that he might be able to beat it. But as a couple of years passed, he wasn't, and he just was less and less available, even with COVID starting to pass. And so he really was fine with the idea of us completing the album. And we listed him as a band member. Steve Allen didn't have a problem with it because he liked the whole tribute to our departed friend. And so it's very much the album that Bob started with us. It's the same album we would have made.
Awesome. And it sounds good. I mean, it really sounds good. The song "Mr. Customs Man," it's got the organ and the guitars. Now, that's where the Tom Petty kind of thing, that in my mind I'm thinking, man, there's something about an organ and cool guitars and your voice, you know, just kind of coming together. Like, it's laid back, it's like a club and you're jamming. Is there anything better than that? And listening to that,
yeah.
That's really cool, proven music.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. Well, that's the Gram Parsons lyric. That's the one. In fact, Bob Hatter and I sat with Gram Parsons, the page of Gram Parsons lyrics about. You could tell it throwback to those days. I mean, I don't think it quite fits the way people travel and go through customs for a number of years now, but it's reminiscent of Carl Guthrie's song that he did at Woodstock so famously, "Coming into Los Angeles, don't touch my bags, if you please, Mr. Customs Man." And Gram Parsons wrote this set of lyrics. So we thought, fine, we'll just pretend we're back in 1969 and play it that way.
Right. It works. I mean, it really sounds cool. I
yeah.
mean, it's got a sound. I mean, there is a nostalgic sound to it. It's almost like this album was made in 1972 or something. I mean, it's just got this old sound to it with fresh songs. It makes you want to listen to it. It's not like, ah, this is a new song. You know, and then it's like, no, this is, it sounds like it could have been a greatest hits album or something. There's some good songs in there.
Wow.
And I'm sure you are proud of these songs, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We felt like we did a good job. We made a nice album and saw it through. We didn't just kind of slap anything out. We had this idea all along and we did a lot of tweaking. We did various overdubs or re-singing things until we were absolutely satisfied it was the thing we wanted. And yeah, well, I'm proud of it. I think it's a very nice work. I hope other people
Yeah,
do.
I
hope
agree.
People listen
yeah,
to this and go hear it.
I think they will. I mean, they should. I mean, that's hopefully that this will generate some a buzz and get everybody to listen to it. But the Together song. That's a cool intro on that song. And that's a cool title track. Can you tell me about that song? I really like that song.
That was originally an instrumental piece I wrote for Arvel Bird and One Nation, which was a Native American group that I wrote some material for and played some gigs with. And that would have been a while back. I don't know. So bad at nailing down the years. You can find all the years on the timeline and burritobrothers.net. There's a really cool timeline that gives an entry for each year since 1968 and who did what that year and what albums were released. So somewhere in like a dozen years or more back, probably more than that, I was in with some Native American musical artists and wrote that basically the same style, the same kind of music that our finished Together song has, but it had no lyrics yet. It had no melody exactly. Well, it had melody, I guess, but no lyrics.
Yeah.
And I just got the idea that since we're into not having boundaries of what kind of music we make, they're wanting to break those boundaries and remain be a hybrid of a lot of cool ideas, that there's nothing wrong with chasing that as a burrito song. And we always, sure. I always return to the thought that as long as Tony Paoletta is playing pedal steel on it, it brings some of our calling card signature to the table. So we just, I'm not worried about trying to sound like what we think maybe the Burrito Brothers are supposed to sound like as much as just make good music. And so we,
sure,
we chase that dream. And I also should mention that I got Ronnie Rael of the Solos is one of the two guest spots on the album, the other being Ron Gilbo. It's funny they're both named Ronnie, who was one, long ago was in the Burrito Brothers. He's on Let Go, and Ronnie Rael played that really cool electric guitar on Together. He sat in with us on some occasions live, and he's a really interesting fellow. He's the leader of a group called the Solos, and they're out of New Mexico. So that's kind of a nutshell view of the song Together.
Cool. And you were talking about Let Go also, you know, that another Eagles, an Eagle-esque kind of song. I guess it's just because of that sound. You just have, it's just, there's just a mellow sound with country mixes in there and just a laid back vocal.
Yeah.
To me, it's just easy to listen to. And it really, when a song like that is listenable, there's not a lot going on and it kind of draws you in. I mean, I don't know. It's, there's some Eagle songs like that I can think about, but it's like, it just brings you in, right? And it's just, I love songs like that.
Yeah. We've had some people say it's like the band, you know, the group that came from Bob Dylan. Yeah, yeah.
Sure. That's another one.
It's got that funky sort of. Yeah. Yeah.
I like the sound. You're talking about the steel guitar and the, you know, and you have all these elements. So you're covering sounds, the Birds or the band or the Eagles, and then you have that country sound come in, you know, with the steel guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, man, that's a cool way to go from that sound to a country sound. I mean, just a basic country sound. You know, and to me, it's like when you don't have walls or limitations, and you can go to that, you know, the farthest outreach of that you can go, and still stay in, right, you know, your sound, your basic sound. I mean, to me, that's good. I mean, to me, you can reach a lot of people like that, and you can display all your talents and go different directions. You don't have the same sound, right? It's so good.
Thank you. I think it's a really good outlet for Tony Paoletta, who's such a brilliant, just world-class pedal steel player, I can't imagine anybody being more perfect or more capable for us, the Burrito Brothers, than him. And in for him being in the group, he's got a wider, broader canvas, way more possibilities of stretching the creativity and the artistry than some sort of the word that pops to mind is limited. I don't know if I want to say that sounding kind of negative, but for lack of a better word, those limited sort of just country type sessions for steel players, that kind of keeps you in one bag. With this group, Tony gets to stretch all over the place.
Right. And that's cool. That's cool to me. I mean, because like you said, you can go anywhere with that sound. And kind of a lot of stuff that hasn't been done with that mix. I mean, there's a certain mix that really hasn't been done. It takes a lot of different pieces, but it's like never been done in that kind of way. I don't know. I really do like that. I really do like that sound. And when you're coming together with these songs, though, does he kind of come in and play, or do y'all kind of go, let's see what we got? How do y'all kind of work that out? How do you decide what goes where and how much to play?
Together, we were like the album title. We work it out together. It's not like somebody showing up and like a session player and just learning the song and playing the part. We always have interaction in almost every case, if not every case. We demo the songs first, which is us getting together in a less than perfect, not necessarily studio setting, just making what we regard as a tape for us to reference and remember how the song goes and the chords in it and all that. We make some form of demo always, and then we talk it down and exchange ideas about where to go with it, and then we finally record it. So it's not just showing up and playing a part. It's a group cohesive effort toward the finished result.
Right. And talking about the finished result.
Have I mentioned
go ahead. Other?
Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned the other two guys. Well, I mentioned Bob Hatter because he was dying, and Steve Allen stepped in and did a beautiful job in support, and now hung around and is in the group for next time. And so that leaves Peter Young, the drummer, who is just wonderful too. I mean, this is really a nice, concise, super talented four-piece, I believe. And Pete not only plays drums just splendidly, but he sings really, really well. He sings harmonies a lot, and he sings lead on The Streets of Santa Rosa on the album. And then, as if that's not a lot, he's very talented as a recording engineer. He's got his own studio in Music Row called Ultra Audio. And once we've been recording the last three albums in a row at Studio 19 in Franklin, which is a good, big, like sort of major studio kind of thing. Then we finish tracking, we tend to put our overdubs and some added vocals and things on with Pete at his studio. And Pete's just brilliant at that.
Awesome. Well, there you go. I mean, when you have talented musicians, you know, they can do like multiple things, you know, but the harmonies, to me, harmonies are like my favorite thing ever.
Yeah.
I mean, which that kind of talking about together, I mean, it shows you that there's a lot of practice, there's a lot of heart, right? So ain't it cool? Harmonies are so cool to me.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. I come from a musical family, and all my brothers, I have three brothers who all are musicians and all love to sing. So we've done lots of harmony together. It's in fact, I started out in music as a member of what we called the James Brothers. It was my brother Fred and my brother David and I. That was when we were just starting out in becoming, you know, adult. I was probably 20 or something. But harmonies are sweet. I was also going to mention that it's a little fun, this title Together seems to have different meanings. I realize that it's not original. There have been some other people who've had albums called Together. I learned a little more so after ours was out, but I remember Jesse Colin Young's first solo album was called Together. But for me, the initial thrust, the initial idea of calling it Together was once again a little inside information, a little inside connection to the Byrds and the original Flying Burrito Brothers family tree. Because back in 1969, there was a small little out of LA called Together Records, and they specialized in the archives of these groups. They put out the earliest Byrds recordings that was called Pre-Flight, and they put out an album with different, there's some David Crosby and Canned Heat and the Dillards. It was a various artist album called Early LA, and I felt that was a little inside info, a neat thought that Together means that to us. And then then we even had a little fun with Bob Boiling. He mentioned, okay, you're chasing the muse, so you do what you have to do to get her. To get her. It's the...
Yeah.
So that is to get her.
To get her. Very good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very catchy and tricky and fun. But that's what it's all about. That's a good way to title something, to make people think, you know, to make people realize, you know, this is not your just, you know, your little boring album. This is going to make you smile. I mean, it's an awesome album. I'm just saying, I would take this on a road trip and listen to all of it,
yeah,
and then listen to it again. It's really that good. Go back and listen to the album and in its entirety and kind of have an overall feel for yourself and go, you know, do you do things like that?
Oh, yes, without a doubt, yeah. Yeah, we did that. In fact, I'd say it's more than just really, although it's funny, once the songs are all chosen and we get started recording, long before they're finished, I feel like I can tell what order they go in. And then I run that by the rest of the guys and we talk it down and end up, you know, finally agreeing on exactly the order we like it to be in. But it usually doesn't shift much. I guess it's very flattering that they're so on board with me, because it's sort of more my baby nowadays than anybody else's. I kind of have lead the way, say, hey guys, let's get together and make another album, that kind of thing, you know. I am the band leader, and it's very, very flattering that it doesn't meet with resistance. We're all together. We're all on the same page.
Right. That helps. That helps in a band when you're agreeable and you could, you know, you kind of, like you said, on the same page. Because, you know, if you got somebody pulling this way and somebody pulling that way, you can really tell, you know, on the album, you could probably tell that, like I said earlier, that, you know, there's, you know, it's all over the place. But when people come together to make an album, and it's like it's meant to be a certain way, you could tell it was planned out and everybody played their part. Those are the best albums, when it's like all structured and everybody does this awesome job, you know, then there's no limitations. Also, that helps to make a good album too, right?
Oh, yeah, yes, definitely. And I have to admit that we've been in cases where there was all that push and pull and stuff. I mean, obviously, for a band to keep changing personnel so many times through the years, that doesn't happen because everybody's all happy with it. I mean, or either tired of it or died or something. But the various things that happened to make personnel changes take place, and this band's had more than anybody probably, that is that push and pull that you got to get through. And in fact, the getting past that is why we're really into just sticking with the four guys we have right now: Tony Paoletta, Peter Young, me, and Steve Allen. Because I've talked to, especially Tony, I confide with the most because he's been in the group the longest than me. And I said, you know, should we bring in anybody else? Do we want to add to the personnel or any? And he said, not while it's working. It ain't broke, so don't fix it. You know, this chemistry seems really, really nice, or it's all just flowing the way we want it. And so I guess we don't want to mess with that until the day comes that we just have to.
Sure. Totally understandable. That's right. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So what's the reaction been from the album? What are people saying about it that you've heard? You know, what's their overall statement about this album?
Well, the most I've heard is that they like it. They've been the way you've talked today, which is utterly flattering. That's just so gratifying that we believed we did a really nice job. You know, I don't want to be conceited. I think humility is a beautiful trait, but you got to have some confidence if you're going to go into this line of work and art and chase that dream. And we really felt that we did a very nice job, and to have that sentiment returned to us is just super gratifying.
Sure. Well, tell me about shows. Are y'all playing shows, or what have you got coming up in the near future as far as that goes?
We've got nothing scheduled right now. We are hoping with the release of this album and getting word out there, like you're helping us do today, that we might get some offers come in. We're not aggressively chasing road work because everybody is pretty happy with, like, these guys are so talented that they do lots of other studio session work all the time and have lots of Tony. I don't know anybody who works more gigs than Tony. Seems like all these country singers in Nashville want him to play pedal steel on their gigs and stuff. And Pete, as I said, has his own studio. So we're not really eagerly looking to leave Nashville for any long periods of time and just hit the road. We're a lot older than that. We're not like 30 somethings who climb in a van and go for a month out, but we love playing live, and I believe we're really good at it when we do it. So when the occasional festival or concert or thing pops up, we're there and 100%. What we hope more than anything right now they're chasing is the idea of got some feelers out to hope to go to Europe. Our record label, SFM Records, is based in London, England. And it just feels like if we go over there, we'll probably be received pretty well. And we'd all love to do that. So we're sort of predominantly at this point in our career, more of a recording act than a live act, but we're fully prepared for live and aren't against it in any way. We do it. Seems it's only occasionally these days, but that's not really bothering us because we love making these albums so much, and that in itself be gratifying. But if anybody wants to offer us a concert, we're there.
Yeah. What would be your ideal, like, if you had like this, you know, don't have to be this long drawn out, you know, tour, but if you had a few shows with a band, who would it be? Like, who's your ideal band to work with in some festival or something somewhere? Who would that be?
Wow, interesting. Wow, who's the most gosh. So the first names that pop into mind aren't viable anymore. Like you've mentioned earlier in this interview, Tom Petty, that would be perfect, but no,
Oh,
he's not
that would have
around.
been
Got to
right.
be cool. I wonder, is Crowded House still going? I don't think so. I think Neil Finn is with
I
Fleetwood
don't know.
Mac.
Yeah,
Crowded House would be
right.
neat. Opening for Bob Dylan or Willie Nelson, that would rock. That would be so cool.
That would be really well. There you go. Hey, you put it out there. It's kind of like you plant a seed, you know, and you put it out there, put some water on it, and maybe Bob Dylan will call you and see. I'm just saying, Willie might just show up one day and say, hey, man, let's do
Some
it. You never know.
version of the Grateful Dead. Some version of the Grateful Dead. Like, don't they still kind of bring out variations?
Sure.
Phil Lesh and friends, or we're doing something. That would be really cool to be on that.
That would be
Must be
really, yeah,
diverse.
be awesome. I'm sure there's a lot of people though that would love to have you with them. I mean, as far as like some festival or something like that, I'm sure there would be some big event that would go, hey man, these guys are cool. But yeah, I think that would happen. I think I'm looking forward to seeing something like that, like this big event where you headline some big show somewhere and I don't know where, but yeah, that'd be awesome.
That'd be nice. It also seems it seems anything that's associated with the Americana label, that genre tag,
Yeah.
it seems we could easily be embraced by their audience.
Sure. Like like John Mellencamp or somebody like that. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that happening.
That's a good one. Maybe Springsteen.
There you go.
Oh, I tell you, you know
Springs.
who the best one of all would be? The best one, the best answer to your question of who to be opening act for is the Rolling Stones. That
Oh
would be
yeah,
so awesome.
that
That's a stretch, probably. That's one can
I
dream.
one can
Because
dream and let me come
Keith
up
Richards
and
was
introduce
such.
y'all.
Well, Keith Richards loved Gram Parsons.
Right. Well, see, you've got that. See, you've already got that out there. So Keith Richards, he knows the name, he knows the music. So, I mean, why not? Hey, I think that would be a perfect,
I don't think
perfect
we're on
concert.
his radar, though. I'll tell you, it would be a dream come true if somehow we could get onto Keith Richards' radar. I'll bet as far as he knows, the burritos aren't even around anymore. I don't think we're on his radar. And if somehow he stumbled into one of our albums or heard about it and was willing to check it out, I just believe he'd think it was good, because it is. So that's a
Yeah.
real dream come true. That could be a real just huge turning point in our recognition out there in the world if Keith Richard heard us and liked us. That would rock.
That would rock. We got to make that happen. I want to be a part of making that happen. I have to put that out there and say, let's, do this. This is what we want to see right here. Yeah, that would be awesome. Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate you chatting with me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Gary.
And there you have it, Chris James of the Burrito Brothers. Such a cool guy. Can't wait to talk to him again and see what's going on with him. Check out their website, the Burrito Brothers, and their new album is out, Together. That's the name. Yeah, you need to check that out, and I think you're going to love it. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, everybody, always remember to keep the music real.